And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, that is the angel, she was troubled at his saying, at what he was saying to her, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. The angel comes and says, Hail, you're highly favored. And she's thinking, why on earth is an angel talking to me like that? And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Everyone say, no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost. I think that would preach right there. She said, How shall it be? And the angel said, The Holy Ghost. Amen. How are we going to reach our city? The Holy Ghost. Amen. How are we going to see revival? The Holy Ghost. How are we going to see the impossible? The Holy Ghost. Amen. And she said, How shall it be? And the angel said, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her whom was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And this is a powerful reply. When God speaks to you, if you can reply like this, let me tell you, something's getting ready to happen. Mary replies and said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord. In other words, God, here I am, your servant. Other virgins say, Behold, I am the Lord's servant. Be it unto me according to thy word. God, not what I want, but what you want. Be it according to me, unto your word. And then the angel left. Don't you love that account right there? Can you imagine being Mary? Could you imagine being Joseph? Amen. An impossible situation, but nothing is impossible with God. Amen. I want to speak today on divine interruptions and divine detours. Divine interruptions and divine detours. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. Lord God, we pray that faith would come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We'll be sure to give you all the praise and all the glory. Let us not be people that just hear with our ears, but oh God, that we would apply it to our lives, and we would be doers of the word. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all the church says amen. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Divine interruptions and divine detours. Nobody likes to be interrupted, especially when we've got our mind set on something, especially when we think that we know the way it's meant to happen and we've got plans and all these things. And so interruptions are something that we may not always appreciate. In fact, putting the word divine in front of interruptions may trouble some today. Jesus was born. We know that he was most likely not born at December 25. He was most likely born in September or October. Nobody really knows exactly when Jesus was born. But he was born. The Savior came to the world. Emmanuel, God with us, he came to rescue us from our sins. He was not just a man, but he was God with us. For his name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And there is a term that we use for that. It's called the incarnation, where deity puts on flesh. Now it's a time when we sing Christmas carols. Now, we call them carols, but many of them are just hymns. We call them carols because we sing them at Christmas time, but we could call them Christmas hymns. And our music team has done a wonderful job over the last three Sundays bringing to us some of those Christmas hymns. But let me say this today. Not all Christmas carols are created equal. Because some of them, they really lack a lot when it comes to theology. Of course, some of them that we call carols are nothing to do with Jesus at all and Santa getting stuck in the chimney. I still cannot find that in my Bible at all. Reindeer and sleigh rides, no, I still haven't found them all. Not all Christmas carols are created equal. There's a lot of Christmas carols that completely miss the mark. Around here, we like to sing ones that line up with the Word of God and elevate Jesus. There's one carol that I like, and it's this, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. I like verse 2 because it is theologically sound. It says, Christ, by highest heavens adored. Christ, the everlasting Lord. He was Lord at his birth. Late in time, behold him come. Offspring of the virgin's womb, veiled in flesh, wearing a tent of flesh, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. You were seeing flesh, but it was a tent of flesh. He was fully God and fully man. Hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. The reason he came, he came to redeem us from our sin. And there was no man on earth that could die for us because it needed to be a sinless man. And there was no sinless man on earth. Just like the Old Testament, it had to be a spotless lamb. Jesus came through the virgin's womb. He took on humanity and he came to die for us. You see, the only way that God could redeem us was to become a man like us. And he did that through the incarnation. He did that through the virgin birth. And Paul said it like this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 19 says this. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath commanded to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him, everyone say Jesus, he became sin for us, even though he knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. There's something you have to understand about Jesus, is that he was fully God and he was fully man. You see, he was born a baby. He was begotten. He had a beginning as a man. Luke chapter 2 verse 7, it talks about him being born a baby. But as God, he existed from eternity. The Alpha and the Omega. Luke chapter 2 tells us that he grew up mentally, physically, spiritually, socially, he grew up. But then Hebrews 13 tells us about Jesus that he never changes. You see, he was God and man. He was tempted by the devil. Yes, in the garden he was. But as God, he cast out devils. As a man, he hungered. But as God, he fed 5,000 and he was the bread of life himself. As a man, he thirsted, but as God, he gave the living water. As a man, he prayed, but as God, he answered prayer. As a man, he walked beside the water, but as God, he walked on the water. As a man, he died, but as God, he raised from the dead. As a man, he was a servant, but as God, He was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's my God today. That's our Emmanuel, God with us. You've got to understand, he was more than just a man. You see, what is the real gift at Christmas? It is salvation. And God had a plan. He had a plan for Mary's life. A daunting plan. Mary also had plans for her life, no doubt. She had just become engaged to Joseph, and imagine as girls do, probably looking at dresses and looking at Pinterest and practicing signing her new name with her new whatever they do and all that. But she had plans, and God had plans. And God came via an angel to speak to her, and the angel came with a big interruption, an interruption to her plans. It was going to result in a detour, a change of plans for her. And the angel said, before anything, he said, fear not, fear not. Now, when God comes to you and says, fear not, you ought not to fear. But just the sound of that is telling me that something's about to happen that I might not like, I might not feel comfortable with, but I'm going to take courage and I'm going to stand on God's word and I'm not going to fear. Now, the angel said, fear not, a number of times in the Christmas account. For when the angel went to Mary, the angel said, fear not. When the angel went to Joseph, the angel said, fear not. When the angel went to the shepherds who were in their field watching their flocks by night, the angel said to the shepherds, fear not. But I want to focus on Mary today, because the angel said, fear not. You see, when God interrupts your life, it can be very inconvenient, but fear not. Our text says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel came to Mary, unto the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, and the angel said, fear not. Now, we often think of angels like we do in the Christmas pageants, you know, fluffy feathers and white and fluttering around, you know. But no, that's, if you look in the Bible, you won't see that type of angel in the Bible. That's not what angels look like. In fact, angels were fierce, warlike creatures, beings. They were there. And that angel came. And here is Mary espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. She's engaged and she's getting ready to be married. A man named Joseph, who's a descendant of King David. And the angel came and said, Mary, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you, and you're more blessed than other women. And when she saw the angel, this tells us why. We know it wasn't just some fluffy, white-feathered thing that we imagine in our minds. She was troubled at his saying, and she cast her mind and said, why is an angel talking to me like this? She's scared. She's a young lady. We know this because the culture, once a girl became a woman, shortly after, she would be betrothed or espoused to be married. She's a young bride and all of those exciting things. And suddenly an angel comes and interrupts all of her plans. Let me tell you that without a shadow of doubt, this interruption is terribly inconvenient for Mary. She had her future mapped out. She knew where she wanted to go. She knew where she thought she knew where it was all headed. Everything was planned out. But I'm speaking today about interruptions and detours. In fact, when I see a detour sign, and I'm hoping not to see any detour signs on the way to Cootamundra today, there's been flooding around and the road's been washed out. But when I see a detour sign on the side of the road, I know that what's about to happen is that the ride that I had intended traveling on is no longer happening. That road that I was going to travel on is no longer available. That detour tells me that I'm about to take a different course. I'm talking about spiritual detours. How many people today can say, in hindsight, yes, back then it may have been a fearful thing, but how many people today can say they are thankful for spiritual detours? That you wouldn't be where you are today if you had just kept following your own plans. That you could thank God that he came in and interrupted your life, interrupted your plans, and sent you on a different path. How many people can say that's my testimony? Amen. You ought not to fear. God's got something for you. Now, I know that we would never plan chaos and detours into our life on purpose. We wouldn't plan that. And yet those detours are often God's ways of guiding us. Divine detours, divine interruptions are not bad things. In fact, our testimony today is that we were disrupted. We had a detour. We were interrupted. You know, all of those things. And we can say that that detour diverted us down a better path. And now we can say that we're glad what God has done. We like to be able to plan everything, don't we? We like to be able to see everything and how it's all going to unfold. And that was probably one of the hardest things about the lockdowns we went through. We just didn't even know what was going to happen and when it was going to finish. And it just seemed to go on and on and on. And for some of us, that's very frustrating because we wanted to have everything planned. In fact, we like to get the map out and spread the map out. And we say, well, here I am and that's where I'm going. And we want to look at everything along the way. We say, this is the path. There's going to be a mountain here and there's going to be a valley here. It's going to be dry here and it's going to be pleasant there. And we like to unfold the whole map and we want to know exactly what's going to happen, where we're headed, what's going to happen. But let me tell you, that's not the way it is with God. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. In fact, God doesn't show us the whole map at one time because by showing us the whole map, we might just turn our back and run away in fear. But God reveals the course of our life one page at a time. One page at a time. But fear not. Divine interruptions, divine tours, detours can lead us into the destiny that God has for us. You see, Mary had plans, but God came with a divine interruption. You see, interruptions are not altogether bad. And it's important how you respond to God's interruptions. Because Joseph, when the interruption came, he nearly went down the wrong path. When the angel interrupted Joseph and his plans, when he discovered Mary's pregnancy, he was devastated. That was an interruption he never thought would happen. In fact, he thought it was going to be impossible or something was happening behind the scenes. And she tells him a story. Joseph at the beginning couldn't buy the story about the miraculous conception. And so he almost took matters into his own hands by getting a divorce. And what a mistake that would have been. But the angel said to Joseph, "Fear not." And so Joseph woke up after that encounter with God and he decided that he would not divorce Mary. He changed his mind and he took her as his wife and he helped raise that miraculous child. You see, Joseph got God's perspective on the interruption. Proverbs 3 verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. Think about him or acknowledge him in all your ways and he will guide you on the right path. Think of him in all your ways. Acknowledge him in all your ways and he will guide you on the right path. You see, what we see as interruptions, God often sees as invitations. I've got a plan for your life. You see, think about it through the scriptures. What did God do with Moses? Moses was there just having a regular day, just doing what he liked to do and doing what he had to do. And he's there and suddenly Moses is interrupted by what? A burning bush. But not just a burning bush. It wasn't consumed, but the burning bush began to speak and he takes off his shoes. And so this interruption led Moses to becoming the deliverer of God's people out of Egypt. When we think about Saul was killing Christians and he was there on the road to Damascus and God interrupted him on the road to Damascus and a light came from heaven. And in that interruption, God was inviting Saul, who eventually became Paul, to something better. You see, I believe there are many of us who shake off God's invitations because we see them as interruptions. Interruptions to our plans. And so the angel said to Mary, "Fear not, because you have found favor with God." You see, a lot of preachers like to talk about favor. I'm blessed and highly favored. Let me tell you, Paul was favored of God. The favor of God was on Paul's life, and he had to go through a shipwreck. He had to go through a snake bite. You see, sometimes we get a wrong impression of what the favor of God is. I want to be in the plan of God. I want to be in the will of God. And Mary was about to find out that favor isn't exactly what she thought it would be. You see, God's purpose, God's plan is different to our plans. His purpose for us is often different than what we had planned for ourselves. And the angel says, you're going to conceive in your womb. You're going to bring forth a son. You're not going to get to choose his name. His name will be Jesus. And he's going to be great. He's going to save his people from their sins. This interruption would leave Mary to being the mother of the Savior. Isaiah 55 says, just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are God's purposes higher than our purposes. You see, I'm not sure how the will of God is going to play out in your life. But let me tell you today, church, when God interrupts us, it's an invitation to something else. It's an invitation to something better. You're going to continue walking in the favor of God. And you're going to discover very soon that God's plan and God's purposes are different to what you may have planned and what your purpose may have been. But God's plans and purposes are way greater than anything you could plan for your life. I'm speaking about divine interruptions. I'm speaking about divine detours today. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says this, God has plans to bless you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and expected end. You see, Mary, when God interrupts you, Mary, it's time to have faith and not fear. Church, when God interrupts you, when he unsettles you, when he sends you on a divine detour, keep the faith, keep your eyes on God. You're going to look at and say, well, I don't know how that's possible, God. You're about to lead me down to a path that I don't even know where it's going to happen and how it's going to happen. You're telling me, God, to forgive somebody? Somebody that's hurt me? It's not possible. It's not possible. I'm not ready for that, God. Why did you come to me? I thought that was all settled. But I know I had unforgiveness in my heart. You've interrupted me, God. I can't do that. Let me tell you, nothing is impossible with God. God, you're asking me to trust you. You're asking me to trust you with my finances. You're asking me to trust you and be generous. I don't have very much. And God says, fear not. Fear not. Put your trust in me. You say, God, there's no way that I could have a good marriage again. It's all broken. Or you say, God, there's no way that I can be reconciled to my children again. Let me tell you, God is interrupting you today. And I want to tell you, with God, nothing is impossible. You're highly favored today. Let me tell you, when God interrupts you, you're having your best day right there. Your best is yet to come. God's plans and purposes are higher than ours. Woo! So whatever you're facing today, there's nothing impossible with God. Maybe God's asking you today to take a step of faith. Write it down. Write it down. Maybe God's speaking to you about something. God wants to do something in your life. Write it down. If God's telling you to do something, write it down. The outcome is God's responsibility. Everyone say, the outcome is God's responsibility. Yeah. You can't control the outcome. The outcome is God's responsibility. Mary, the outcome is God's responsibility. Joseph, the outcome is God's responsibility. What's our responsibility? Obedience. Do what God says. Do what God says. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to do what God says. The outcome is his responsibility. For Abraham, when he was called out of the Ur of the Chaldees, God told him to start walk. God called him to walk on that journey of faith. What did Abraham have to do? He had to obey. He had to walk. The outcome was God's responsibility. Ooh. Moses, he's herding the sheep there at the backside of the desert. God needed to deliver, and God calls Moses. Moses can't see how it's going to happen. The outcome is God's responsibility. Obedience was Moses' responsibility. Nehemiah was comfortable being the king's cupbearer. But then God called Nehemiah to build the walls of Jerusalem. Come, Nehemiah, because I'm a cupbearer. I'm not a bricklayer. I'm not a builder. And God says, the outcome is my responsibility, Nehemiah. You just be obedient. Peter was comfortable being a fisherman. I mean, being a fisherman, that sounds like a pretty good life to me. He was comfortable there, but Jesus saw another purpose for his life, came and interrupted him while he was wetting a line and called him to be the first preacher of the gospel, to have the keys to the kingdom. Yes, he went through rough trot. Yes, he denied Jesus 3 times, all of those things. But let me tell you, I'm talking about divine interruptions and divine detours. Proverbs 16, verse 9. We can make our plans, and I read from the New Living Translation, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. Proverbs 19, verse 21, you can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. And so as the musicians come, I want to go to back to the text today, Luke chapter 1 and verse 38. Please turn there in your Bibles. Luke chapter 1 and verse 38. And I encourage you to read through the Christmas account. Take your children, read the book of Luke. Read the account there of Jesus' birth and all of those things, and stop and discuss it all with your children. Even you might like to rehash what I've preached today with them about how Mary's life was interrupted and all of those things. But Luke chapter 1 and verse 38, and Mary said, I am the handmaiden. I am the servant of the Lord. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. She knew who God was, and she knew who she was. She said, I am submitted to you. I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me. Everyone say, be it unto me. God, I'm hearing you. It sounds uncomfortable. You've interrupted my plans, but I realize that I am your servant. Be it unto me according to thy word. And then the angel departed. Let's all stand. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. And so when God comes to you with a divine interruption, when God comes to you and you find your life going on a divine detour, remember, he is Lord. He is the owner. He is the boss. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when he comes to you with that divine interruption, when you find yourself on that divine detour, respond like Mary and say, I am your servant, God. You are God. I'm not God. You are in control. Lord, I'm not in control. Lord, may everything that you have said come true about me. Before she says anything else, I want you to remember, after that interruption, before she says anything else, she says it for the angel's benefit and she says it for her benefit. She reminds herself who she is, and she reminds herself whose she is. I am the handmaid of the Lord. I am a servant. And I belong to God. I belong to the King of Kings. He is my Lord, and I am called to serve him. Mary says, I can't figure it all out. I don't understand everything, but I do know that I belong to him. And because I belong to him, I can trust him with the outcome. And because I belong to him, I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to do what I can do. May everything you have said about me, God, come true. Church, his ways are higher than our ways. Jonathan, his ways are higher than my ways. His purposes are higher than my purpose. His plans are greater than my plans. His thoughts are greater than I could ever imagine. You see, we can learn so much from this simple account. Fear not. And maybe God is interrupting you. Maybe this week God's been interrupting you and calling you and instructing you and speaking to you. And you're thinking, God, it's holiday time. Can you think of a better time? Oh God, I got everything planned. I got things sorted out, God. And God says, no, fear not, trust me. You say, God, well, I don't know how it's gonna end. God says, don't worry, leave the outcome with me. Just be obedient. Can we lift our hands all across this place right now? God is speaking to us today. Divine interruptions and divine detours. God comes to interrupt us because He's got something greater for us. Mary, you're going to become the mother of the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Oh, yes, Jesus, help our hearts to be soft. Lord God, whatever you speak to us, help us to remember who we are and whose we are. Lord, I am your handmaiden. Lord, I am your servant. I belong to you. Oh God, the outcome is your responsibility. Obedience is my responsibility. Oh God, let it be according to your word. Let everything happen that you want to happen, Lord God. Let your way have the preeminence in my life. Oh yes, come on church, just cry out to God right now. Whatever God's speaking to you right now, begin to obey in your heart. Begin to receive it in your heart. God, I don't understand, but with you nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible with you, God. Lord, you can make a way where there is no way. You can make a sea and a river in the desert. Spring up, O well, sing, O barren. Oh God, nothing is impossible with you. Oh, yes, Jesus, yes, Lord.